couch, grab some chicken wings, settle in. This is Remote Patrol. I'm Jason Hawk. He's Richard Smith. She's Allison Downing. We're back at long last.
Yeah. Missed you guys. No, I haven't missed you. I see you every day, but I missed you, Jason.
Yeah.
Missed both of you. Man, it's good to talk to you again. Yeah. It's good to hear your voices. Good to know that you're not angry at me.
Angry at you? No, we're just basically asleep or doing other stuff. Yeah. But we're never angry at you. How can we be angry at you?
I was for a little bit, but I'm over it now.
You.
You should be angry at me. I need to issue a mea culpa here on air.
Right? What?
We haven't recorded a whole bunch.
It's like not. It's not being your fault. It's just, it's the, you know, things happen. We're all people.
Summer.
We're all fallible.
No, it is my fault. I owe a huge apology to both of you, but more to Allison. Because, Allison, you wanted to talk about that show, Happy Valley, was it?
Yeah, but I didn't want to ruin your life.
She did and she didn't.
Well, it wasn't really ruining my life. It's just that it came at a time where, hey, these were long episodes.
Yeah, they're like hour-long features.
Uh-huh. Right. And that coincided with a huge workload that I had, a deluge of projects and managerial duties and all that BS at work. And on top of that, when I did try to watch the show, Allison, I found out that it was about a little kid getting kidnapped, and that ain't cool.
Yeah. I'm becoming more sensitive to that issue because, you know, the only thing that I'm not cool with is like Hannibal. I think that's too far. So everything else is fair play to me, but I kind of I'm being awakened to sensitivities that include children in harrowing situations for parents of small children.
You don't have the dog thing either, do you, Allison?
I do, but it won't destroy my life if I see a film where there's a dog die in it. It will make me cry for hours.
If I'm on Netflix and there's a dog in a movie, I go straight to does the dog die in this and make sure. I can't. So I totally get it.
The trouble. I've got a couple of dogs, but if a dog dies on screen, it doesn't get me. But now that I'm a dad, homie, don't play that when the kids get taken or murdered in cold blood. It's just not cool.
Yeah, I totally understand.
I should grow a pair. That's all that there is to it. No, I mean, it's not my child on the screen.
Exactly, it's not your child.
But no, because what it does is it brings all those emotions. It's like
and
it's meant to do.
That's why the show is brilliant, because it makes you feel like that.
I mean, any occurrence of this, it just brings those emotions to you. And as a parent, I imagine you just, there's never a moment when you're not at some point worried about your kids on some level, just like, you know, they're not in danger, but you're dealing with things in your brain, and the idea of something bad going wrong with that is literally your worst nightmare.
Like, you don't understand, you can never understand until you have children of your own, Richard. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, because we can empathize.
I think for you right now it's children that does that, but I think that for most people it will be kids, but it's whatever in your life is something that is that important to you.
Look, my mum passed away 7 years ago, and to this day, if there's a film about a person whose mum's dying, especially of cancer, I'm fucking out of there.
You've heard about the Guardians of the Galaxy incident.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm still not quite ready because I know I've got to skip that first scene.
Someone's
got to
warn me about things like that in films.
See, I was an absolute dickhole when it came to the opening of that movie because I was like, oh, they're brave to do that. I really appreciate that they really killed a character like that. That was good of them to do.
No, it was too much for me because I was that kid in that waiting room. I'm not ready for this shit.
I bigged it up as the greatest thing you've ever seen. You've got to see this film.
Watch this now. Like, yeah, this kid's losing his fucking mum to cancer. I'm really glad I'm fucking watching this.
I
have been very, very surprised, though, in the past three, four years now since Rylan came along and then the other two a year and a half ago. I've been so surprised at how much that trigger really does get pulled. There's this weird, deep, dark, protective, I don't know, it's like there's a biological button that got pushed way down in the back of my brain, and now it just freaks out whenever you see that.
Yeah.
Totally get it.
I did try to watch Happy Valley on five separate occasions. And when the kid thing wasn't bothering me, I fell asleep on five separate occasions.
Oh, dear me.
It won award after award here.
It was really critically acclaimed. It was filmed around here, which is another reason why we wanted you to see where we live, kind of.
Well, it might have been an Academy Award winning whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just damn those doling, lulling Middle England accents.
Oh, I know. We're quite soporific when we want to be, aren't we, Jason?
Yeah.
No, really, it was... it's not that I was having trouble parsing what they were saying. It's just, man, it was so nice and comfortable. You felt like you were at home. You just felt nice and safe, like you could float out over the moors forever.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So
after many, many weeks of me dragging my feet, this is how Richard and Allison are punishing me.
Excuse me, right, I need to get this on the table immediately. This has got nothing to do with me.
You're part of the problem.
I may be part of
the solution. You did not veto it. Therefore, you are part and parcel.
She's so excited. So excited about this show tonight. So excited to have. There was no way she was going to stop this.
We're talking about Say Yes to the Dress.
We are.
Yeah, baby.
Can I? Right. This. My rationale was that, you know, this show is kind of like, it's kind of like we're channel hopping TV week to week.
We are, yeah.
Like the theme tune of the show indicates with the channel hopping.
We patrol the remote.
Exactly. And it occurred to me that you don't always go to the next channel and it's Columbo. You know, sometimes you go to it's 4 a.m. You should have gone to bed weeks ago. And you're still channel hopping, and the only channel still working is TLC.
No, this is like Wednesday afternoon or something like that, when normal people are busy doing shit.
Yeah, this is, you know, not all TV's great TV. Sometimes it's about buying dresses.
The absolute worst thing in the world is when you stop on a channel and you didn't mean to, but 15 minutes you realize that you haven't hit the button again.
Yeah.
It's like you're just watching something that is the worst thing in the world.
You've been given visual opiates in a way. It's just like you've been fed drugs with your eyes and you're not quite sure that you want them. You're not quite sure that you want the effect, but you still sat there staring at it. Like,
no, this show falls into the category of things I try to skip past before you see it. This I don't know if this is a common thing or if it's a you thing or what.
Because you know, because
it's when I'm skiffing through channels and you see something, you're like, "Oh, leave that," and I'm like fuck, I am leaving that under no circumstances.
Anything with superheroes, Lisa tries to skip past it before I can see it.
Yeah,
and vice versa. Anytime that there's a real estate show or here's how to fix up your house to give it real curb appeal and maybe a splash of color on an inside wall for emphasis. I try to skip before she sees it.
I'm glad you've picked up the term curb appeal.
These are things that would fit into Channel 4's you aren't alive properly lineup.
Yes.
That's their big thing.
Your house is nice.
Your house is shit. And you eat the wrong food. And you're dressed incorrectly. And you're not confident enough about your naked body. And you're just alive wrong. Just stop it. A whole channel of that. But this is TLC. Say Yes to the Dress. I've learned that there are at least two spin-offs of Say Yes to the Dress.
There are so many.
Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta, I believe.
Yeah, there is. There's Say Yes to the Dress Bridesmaids.
And there's Say Yes to the Dress. Wasn't there one that was like Mormon Say Yes to the Dress?
Was there?
Do they just all have the same plain frock and they just go and get it off a shelf? I don't know what a Mormon wedding is like. Well, I was ready to just jump in and insult an entire religion.
One of the shows that I saw on Say Yes to the Dress, I saw this a few weeks ago, but it was fucking Duggars, wasn't it? And they were, and they were going to renew their vows. So she went in for a dress, and basically she bought three tablecloths that had been sewn together. It was demure to the point of where's the bride?
I wonder if they went through with that in the end.
They did, yeah. They
right,
did.
Right, okay.
It was a very big crossover. It was before. Yeah. It was before. Not long before, but yeah.
So I have so many questions to pose to you, but first I want to get my rambling spiel out of the way.
Okay, go for it.
I watched three episodes in preparation to talk about this tonight. I took a bullet.
You did? Which seasons did you spread it out? Because the show has changed a lot over the seasons.
Well, I went to YouTube and I went to their YouTube channel. They had seasons 11, 12, and 13. So I picked one from 11, picked a couple from 13. I wasn't really trying to get anything specific. I was just like, whatever button I can mash next to get this over with, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
But it was like getting the rack. It was like, it was like being that guy from Saw who had to cut off his own foot to get away.
And this is part of my supporting argument that is born out of the show, that men should not in any way take part in the dress buying process.
Or watching the dress buying process.
Going there, you can pay for it, but off screen. And you can have a still shot.
I don't know about this. We're supposed to be all for gender equality, Allison.
No, not in this one event in one's life. There should only, I believe, after watching this show many times and having taken part in this event once in my life, that there should be three people.
The rebel in me says no. The rebel in me says, hey, gender equality is gender equality. And if you have a sacred cow, let's eat that puppy for dinner. Let's cut him up into steaks, golden steaks.
Look, I'm all for gender equality, but I think that part of that is
that
it's recognizing that different genders are better and worse at different things, and it doesn't mean that, you know, we have to mistreat each other. But maybe I'm someone who shouldn't be going picking wedding dresses.
I don't think Graham should.
I think. What about all that rubbish about you can't see the woman in the dress before the wedding and all that?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you've ruined that,
right? Because we're talking about gender equality and we're talking about sexuality equality. So I'm talking about the person who marries our bride should not be present at that fucking event at all.
I think that a traditional wedding ceremony and all of its trappings, all of the intended dress malarkey and the actual rituals that you go through, and like Richard said, the whole you know, you shouldn't see the bride in her dress, all of that kind of just lucky 13 BS. I really don't think that any of that should be observed anymore. I think that it is specifically designed as a gender de-equalizer.
You see, I don't. I think I'm basing my opinion entirely on the behavior of people in this store. And that's what I watch the show for, actually. The dresses are pretty, and the kind of I have a thing that I can do with this show that you just can't. I can pretend. I can imagine myself in that dress, or
I can imagine myself in the dress.
Well, I know, but it's not a very successful image for you, is it?
No, but I can do it. That's all I'm saying.
But that's not what you do when you watch this show.
No,
what you're doing is judging human beings and their behaviour. And that's what this show is. It's not even about fucking dresses, really. It's about people's behaviour towards each other.
I'm judging lots of people when I watch this show. I'm judging a lot. We have to be careful with this kind of thing, and it's kind of like when the concept of reviewing a documentary on movies you should see, and why we try to stay away from that is that the thing about a documentary or reality television is that it kind of breaks up into two bits, that you've got the thing that it is covering and the way in which that thing is covered.
Yeah.
You know, with Say Yes to the Dress, it's about a dress, but these shows are all pretty much the same.
Of course they are. They're so much the same that there are kind of sound-alike shows. I found the gown. It sounds like
it's the same show.
It is. I found the gown.
It's the same show. And what is the difference between Say Yes to the Dress and Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta, besides the accent of the people going into the
shops? Well, it's the kind of the quality of the people who go in there as well, because it's about their personalities as well. In the Kleinfeld store in New York, you've got some incredibly rich people, and some of it is about watching people spend $40,000 on a dress, and it's like,
I do not feel like anyone is watching it to say, oh, I really love that dress. When I get married, I'm going to get that dress myself. I really do feel like that all reality shows, no matter what they are inherently exploitative. And you're watching them to see people destroyed.
Yeah.
You're watching them to hate.
Yep.
You're watching them for the pure exercise of schadenfreude.
You are certainly not watching to see a bride and her entire entourage fall in love with the first dress and everybody be nice to each other.
No, God, no. I'm watching it to see the people suffer, but that again applies to any form of reality reality television.
I think that this week you were watching it to see me suffer.
That's right.
It seemed like such a good idea when I suggested it. I was sniggering as I wrote out the text, like, this is a great idea. We should do this.
Told you before and then we told were me, doing Jason. It.
I did. That's true.
And you know how I gave you that whole big thing about how I can't watch the shows where the kids are harmed in any way?
Well, that's, you know, there you go.
I literally thought about sacrificing one of my own children to the dark lord of Satan on a stone altar in the backyard if it would make Say Yes to the Dress go away.
Oh, dear.
It won't. It will never go away. It will run forever. What season are you on? 13? And 13. They're all the same show.
13, and we've got so many spin-offs.
That's 13 times probably 26 episodes of exactly the same program made over and over again with the same people in it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It just blows my mind that these things happen, but they do it, and they're huge. Clearly this is huge. It's on TV. They spend a fortune on it. People must love this shit.
Now it's on TV. That tops the list of my questions to pose to you here, because it sounded like, Rich, when you were vetting this to me on Facebook chat and when you were talking about it with me on Twitter, it sounded like you were actually watching it live on television as it was being broadcast.
Sometimes I am. I wasn't, though. I wasn't watching it.
Was it
but
on in the room?
I am exposed to this. You were at work. I'm exposed to this show. So, you know, Alison's a fan. That's why she was so excited.
I like the entourages and seeing behaviours. That's what I'm watching for. The dresses are nice, pretty things that go alongside it. I love Randy, but who wouldn't?
You can identify differences in the dresses.
Of course I can. I know cuts are.
I see
I'm a
white
girl.
Dress.
You white see dress. White dress.
The very idea that you can think, I want one like that, and go to a store and look for one like that and maybe find one if there's one there. I think I just see white dress. Just see white dress. And as far as all the men who get involved go, it's like, dude, if your fiancé puts on a dress she likes and you say anything other than, that looks amazing, I'm so lucky to be marrying you when you look like that, then you have failed your man test.
Exactly.
That is it. That's it's why it's even business, more pointless actually. You going along. Yeah. You get to have no opinion.
None of your
Maybe
business.
That's why she's taking you.
So, well, no, because what
if,
we saw tonight...
If you even care in the slightest, you're done.
We watched a key episode tonight.
Did we?
Yeah, because we saw this couple in New York. And I think they'd both had previous relationships and they were stinking rich, getting married in Maui. And she'd taken her fiancé there and it was very much like, I don't like that. No, that's awful. Take that off. That's disgusting. And he was just controlling the whole scene. It's like, I'm not wearing anything that he doesn't like. Like,
that was kind of the narrative to one that I watched too.
Banish
there were like
these him.
High wire performers.
Yeah.
This was the New York version of the show. They went into the store. He was with her and he kept on telling he wouldn't talk directly to his fiance or well to his wife. They were getting remarried.
Right, yeah.
They were renewing their vows.
Renewing the vows, yeah.
But he wouldn't talk directly to his wife about this. He kept on telling the people in the store that he wanted something sexier. Come on, do something sexier. Put on more, take off more clothing, you know, have a different cut. Give me sexy. Strut around in it a little bit. Try to look sexier. I was like, this guy is a complete fucking douche.
Exactly. The fiancés sometimes are repellent.
I'm still insisting. You clearly get a lot of older, rich New York guys who are 50
who
Shades of Grey
shit.
In someone.
50 Shades of Grey in people, buying
That's
everything.
Right.
That was what it felt like when watching that couple. This
exactly
is so
like, it was
dominant
like, I'm
of
watching
woman.
Fucking sex play happen in this fucking shop. It's horrible.
So it's these dominant relationships that I'm really drawn to because I like despising people. And reality TV lets me do that in space without actually having to do it to a real person in real life. I can just do it to this fuck piece that's in front of me.
See,
for,
maybe that's
for
my
20
problem.
Minutes.
I get enough of it in real life.
No, I don't know. I just think a lot of people in real life. You know, I don't let them bother me.
I don't know. Like, if I've met you and I don't know you already, I don't like you. you've annoyed me. That's just a given. I don't care who you are. Select individuals, no, not them. So Alison and, you know, friends and family and that. But everyone else, I fucking hate you. Sorry.
So there's a horrible fiancés, the controlling. I'm paying for it. I'm getting what I want, and you need to look like this.
I was a big fan of the secretly gay fiancés. There were a couple of those.
The secretly gay fiancés.
It's like,
Show wedding.
But look how he's talking and how involved he is in that. And it's, I think your husband's secretly gay. I think that's the thing. Look, he's very friendly with Randy.
Some people are a lot more into fashion and what looks good and understand what their partner looks great in. That's one thing. But then insisting upon your choices or sat there looking like you've had all your toys removed if your bride-to-be puts something else on is equally amusing to me. So, she owns you. It's the who owns who.
We have to deal with the concept that these things cost just so much. I'm unhappy with how much money these items cost.
Yeah,
it's a fucking dress.
I think you went upstairs at one point.
I don't care who made it.
There was a young girl who was getting married, and daddy was just like, you know, they always ask, "What's your budget?" They ask an awful lot about what kind of style of wedding it is and what's your budget, and daddy just said, "If she likes it, she can have it." So that's like carte blanche. She can have anything in the store. And actually, I really like this one here. And he put her in this dress and it was 40 grand. It's like, yeah, you look,
40 grand.
You look beautiful in it. Oh, that one's 26,600. Oh, you look beautiful. You look beautiful. You look beautiful. And mum's just sat there going, oh, I can't have him do this.
There's one on while you were asleep. This woman was trying on her dresses and it caught my eye. Hang on, she's stunning. Face doesn't move much, but she's like
none
noticeably better looking than all of the other women that have been on the show. And it kept talking about her, and it cut to who she was marrying. He's like, oh, and he's in the Major League Baseball team, blah, blah, blah. There it is.
That's really expensive dresses are and all marrying hers, sports people.
Yeah, hers was in the 30,000s.
Mm.
All three episodes that I saw, though, there was a common theme. It was no matter how attractive the women were, and there were some that were, in my opinion, not attractive, and some, in my opinion, that were very attractive. And then there was a third category altogether that was they were trying desperately to be attractive, and it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, throwing money at it, and it still wasn't working.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get to, is they were trying to buy self-esteem.
Uh-huh.
All of the women, they were all trying to buy self-esteem to cover up their body image issues.
Yeah, definitely. There's an awful lot of that going on. And, you know, some of them are very, very overt about that. You know, you might have had a bride who's lost 60 pounds or whatever. So she's going on a journey of discovery of what actually looks nice because she's never even imagined herself in anything nice and can't imagine that she's got curves that she wants to show off instead of hide behind and all that kind of stuff. And then there's just the general simmering, I really don't like myself. I'm relying on all these people to fluff me up and make me feel good. And if they don't approve, then I can't have this.
I think that it went beyond that, though, because there's something to be said for going to the store when you're not feeling well and buying yourself something nice.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, everybody does that.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's an utter waste of money. You should but go out and spend money on an experience rather than a thing.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I like to look nice, and looking nice makes me feel nice. Sometimes I dress up a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah, but it wears out, and that shirt looks rubbish eventually. And you're like, shirt's embarrassing now. I'm not wearing it.
Yes, everything is fading and fleeting. I get that. But these women are obsessive about it, and they get to the point where they think that there's a direct relationship between how much they spend and how much better they'll feel. And that's where you get really dangerous. Like you were saying, a $40,000 dress. What measurably, to someone sitting even in the front row at your wedding, is the difference between a $5,000 dress and a $40,000 dress?
Absolutely none.
Because
you're not
none.
Even walking with a label out to sort of show everybody which designer made your dress. You're not even
That is something else that infuriates me beyond measure, is what precisely defines what is worth £40,000 in a dress.
It's some of it. It's about rhinestones and how fucking long it took.
I will give you, if you fill something full of actual jewels, then okay, it's worth the value of those jewels. But the idea
that's even arguable, because jewels are based mostly on an artificial economy.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it bothers me that there's this, and this is fashion in general, and it's just coming up because we're talking about wedding dresses, but the whole idea that this person designed this, therefore it is worth X amount, just staggers me.
Mm.
And as somebody whose big love is technology, where things have a value, and that is based on what those things do.
Yeah.
And something that is worth more because it does more than something that is worth less. And that does not exist in the dress world.
It doesn't exist in the wealthy world either. Like, it's the ceiling for which you're okay about making a mistake with a purchase is so much higher when you're wealthy than when you're poor.
Do they not realise people are taking the piss?
Tiny amounts of money. Because, like, you know, like the show that we mentioned earlier, that I Found the Gown, only does sale dresses. So you get a totally different crowd in there. People trying to get a rock bottom dress for...
But they even on that show, and I can't believe I've seen it now, but I have seen that show too. This is what happens in our house.
This is hilarious.
And it's like, you're still spending more on a dress than I would spend on a laptop.
This is getting married. It costs a fucking fortune.
Because dresses cost $5,000. That's why it costs a fortune.
The dress is a significant chunk. But just imagine inviting 100 guests. That's £100 for every person that you invite.
Then
just straight out the bat.
So many people.
£100 a day for... A wedding breakfast and an evening. It's £100
per person. Now we're just onto my feelings
about
weddings.
And that's
just
feeding them. So then when you add a dress that costs a tenth of that, then the dress isn't that expensive. So it's all a vast amount of money to get married, which is kind of why we haven't done it. And this is kind of why I vicariously watch shows where boyfriends plan weddings without the
bride's knowledge. I have said this time and time again, it's pretty much the only reason. The concept of a wedding, being married, I am so fine with that. Being in a marriage, that's fine. Marrying you, cool. Yeah, awesome. All of it, that's fine. A wedding.
So you're hitting on my next question, though.
Yeah. Okay.
When are you two kids going to get married?
Oh my God. When we find 40 grand behind
the sofa. When there's a plan of a day of a wedding that I can tolerate the idea of going through. What? It's just so much with it. And my problem is, I don't know that I've genuinely had lots of fun at anyone else's wedding ever.
That's the thing, I think. I
don't want to have a party that I'm not going to have fun at. And that costs me thousands of pounds. I mean, I can't have something really cool that
did
I would like.
Did you have fun at my party?
At your birthday party? Yeah. Yes, I did.
So I would just say it like that. It's our party.
We should do that then, because that costs like 75 quid.
And what about your dress, Richard? Have you started shopping for that yet? I mean, how much would you spend? What's your budget for your dress, Richard?
It's all horrible.
I know Craig had a nice budget for his suit.
I don't want to rent a suit.
He didn't rent it. He bought a Paul Smith suit. He bought what he wanted.
All right. I've told you Starfleet dress uniform.
You see, this is kind of why, Jason, when he mentions things like this, like Starfleet dress uniform, the fucking Star Wars.
You get to spend $5,000 on a dress. I get to wear Starfleet dress uniform.
I think it's a fair trade.
There you go.
I am Jason Hawk, and I endorse this message.
There you go.
What did you get married in, Jason?
I believe I had a suit. I did not spend $5,000 on it.
Was it a normal suit?
I honestly do not remember my wedding. I mean, I remember that it happened. I remember being there. I remember saying yes, and I remember getting the ring. I remember kissing my wife, all that sort of thing. But I don't vividly remember the details. I don't remember the. I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying this.
You don't remember her dress, do you?
I don't remember her dress. I remember that she was amazing when she walked down the aisle.
See? Do you see, Alison?
I totally see. And that's why it was great that Jason stayed home when she was choosing it.
And it's not just Jason. It's every man that has ever married someone.
It's every person that's ever married a bride.
I think that the dress is a very interesting way of studying how women, when it comes to this whole wedding thing, not in general, not a sweeping generalization, but just when it comes to the wedding thing, how you suddenly, no matter who you are or what values you have, all of a sudden you push your identity out to this external locus and you're like, it is about the dress. The dress suddenly matters more than I do.
Yeah.
This is where I think the guys shine, because we're romantics. We look at you and say, no, we want to remember you. We don't care about the dress. We don't care about the details. We just want you to be there, Allison.
Yeah. Oh, Jason, yes, I will.
We just love you.
Because this is a traditional fully nude Betazoid wedding.
Fuck that shit.
That's what Worf said.
No, because largely, yeah. largely because I'm British and I don't do naked, and I'm disturbed because I went to a dance music festival this weekend and I've seen pictures today of three topless women riding camels, and I'm like, why? It's because I'm British. So I can't do Betazoid because I'm British, and also because, damn it, if I'm getting married, I want the fucking dress. Jason's right. It is about the dress. It becomes... A bit, well,
it's not about
dress. I don't know
how special it is.
I don't know.
To swear that I will spend the rest of my life with you.
Of course it is. Of course it
13 is. 13 years, by the way.
Way.
13 years as of a couple of weeks ago.
Well done. Well done. You'd have been out by now, wouldn't you?
Next time, just keep driving.
Why go without the dress? To me, right, going back to my 40th birthday party, I put so much effort into the music and doing the food and getting the room right and doing everything. I adored the process of event planning.
There was an awesome cake, lots of friends there, £75. Fucking done.
It was awesome. It was
Made
really
a playlist.
Good. Yeah.
It was great.
A bit of a deposit, and then deposit returned because everybody drank so much. Thank you, friends.
We should do that.
It was great.
We could do that next weekend.
But what? Yeah, the dress becomes very, very important. Now, I mentioned another show earlier. I didn't mention it by name. Now, there's a show in the UK. I'm sure you'll have a blueprint of it in the States. It's called Don't Tell the Bride. And basically, they give a groom $12,000 to plan a wedding in 3 weeks without the bride's knowledge of anything.
It's half an hour of, oh my God, you fucking idiot.
What are you doing?
Oh, more emasculation of men for being too stupid to be able to live up to the high expectations
of
women.
They find men, honestly. It's amazing that they're not single, let alone getting married.
Some of them are like, whoa, you fucking pulled out all the stops. You understand her so much. It's, you know, you either get it wrong or get it right. And sometimes you're watching them and you think, she's going to hate this. And she's like, this is amazing. It's a great show. I love it. It's one of those that you don't get to see. You don't get to see a bloke thinking about stuff. You usually get to see a bloke being told exactly what he's going to wear, what time he's going to show up, what he's got to say, how he's got to be. And, you know, even suggest stuff that he might want to say in his spit, all that kind of control of a day that a bride might have, and that just disappears in Don't Tell the Bride.
How much does a registry office wedding cost?
About £300.
Like, so Don't Tell the Bride, they give me £12,000, spend £300 on a registry office wedding, and then we go on holiday for 6 months around the world.
You are eminently practical, and I love you.
There you go.
Marry me.
Problem sorted. What would you rather have, a brilliant wedding or, like, honestly, a 6 month, £12,000 worth of holiday? We'll do everything you've ever wanted to
do.
There you go.
Florida in a fortnight. We're on about.
Had I to do it again, that is what would happen. Lisa and I have actually talked about this. You know, we kind of agree that the wedding was very nice for what it was, but no wedding goes off without a hitch. I mean, they all have their problems. They all have their disappointments. Something will go wrong. Yeah. There will be some weird thing with a family member.
Oh, yeah.
There will be some part of the wedding that the chairs didn't arrive, the food was bad, the music accidentally got put on loop. Something will happen.
Mm.
So just skip it. Just, I mean, if the thing about the wedding is that it's special between you and your wife, that it's a bond that you are making a commitment between each other, the two of you. If that's the important thing about marriage, which I'm hoping that that's what we can agree on.
Mm. Yeah.
And it should just be between the two of you. Why invite all of the other people?
Exactly. You see, you thought you were just going to get to talk about a TV show and we've just been talked out of a wedding altogether. There you go.
Talked out of a wedding.
It is suspicious though, Rich. You seem like you want to be talked out of this, but I'm not convinced. I mean, it's suspicious that this show leapt unbidden to your lips.
Isn't it, Jason?
It's because
it happened in a, no, no, I don't
want to
watch
it. They're on a lot.
And watch it.
The reason they amuse me is because it wasn't so long ago. And this sort of, I had to directly confront her about this and she caved in me, pardon me, immediately. Was that until not long ago, The Alison that we're hearing tonight, talking so enthusiastically about weddings and wedding dresses and all the accoutrement, this Alison didn't really exist publicly in any way, shape, or form for a long time. The Alison,
you say publicly, I mean, did she exist behind closed doors?
No, by publicly, I mean even to me. Like, this was all internal. And she was outwardly very, oh, weddings, it's all so sort of conformist.
It's a fucking expensive party.
It's all so expensive
that's my phrase.
We should just get married in a field with sheep.
Twigs.
And so she was saying one thing and thinking another. Yeah, and you know what we call that, Rich? We call that lying.
That's a thing, yes.
She was a liar.
One might, if they were being generous, say conflicted.
And then I had to say, do you know what? For someone who says a wedding is just an expensive party, you do watch Say Yes to the Dress and Atlanta and Bridesmaids.
I make wedding cakes now.
Make wedding cakes.
I've been to shop for a wedding dress.
All these other
things. And it's been a bit exciting, and you know, I've only ever been a guest at a wedding. I've never even been a bridesmaid. I've never been part of a pomp apart from bringing a cake and people eating it and going, "Oh, this is delicious," and "Oh, isn't the cake nice?" and all that kind of stuff. And that's the only bit that I've ever had. So all of it is fantasy for me. All of it is just pure fantasy. Look at the dress. Oh, that's a nice dress. You'd wear it once and sell it on eBay. Did you see Danny's dress after she got married? My friend Danny wore this amazing fucking dress. It was so huge. The hugest tulle skirt you've ever seen. And she got married in a country park and she had a photograph taken outside and ended up with like just the garden stuck to her dress and had to just pick all these twigs and leaves out of it before she could sell it for a third of what she paid for it, but she still got a third back, so you know, it's all right.
Mac Pros retain quite a high resale value.
Yeah, but they break eventually,
I suppose. Yeah, you don't take them in the garden, obviously.
No, you just sell it to another person.
So yeah, this is all relatively new, and it's the Say Yes to the Dress is merely the figurehead of a long schedule of wedding related programming that we go through.
Don't Tell the Bride's still my favourite.
She does like Don't Tell the Bride. And I must admit, it's not the worst programme in the world to watch because you get to feel cleverer than whoever is on it. You know?
Oh, no, I totally disagree with you. I'm an unrepentant horn dog. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So you'd think that I would like this show. You're seeing pretty girls dress up in pretty dresses. You'd think of that I would like shows like Dancing with the Stars and that sort of thing. Oh, that's kind of what I was comparing this to in my mind. It's on paper, it sounds like a winning formula.
You know,
it's not like Dancing with the Stars, because Dancing with the Stars, you're looking at a skill that people are either getting or not.
I suppose.
They just happen to be fit because of what they do.
What you're watching here is people exerting control over each other.
A lot of these TLC shows are about showing the worst of the human condition.
Oh, yes. But also, and my major complaint, despite all those things, is that there's just so little substance to it when you dig down into it. I mean, three episodes of this thing, and I came up with a list of, you know, 50 adjectives that I would like to apply to the show. It was just so vapid that I was left speechless. My wife openly mocked me at length, by the way, for watching.
Did she?
Say Yes to the Dress. Oh, she did. So she was so biting that it made me shrivel up. It was terrible.
It's a weird one. It's just one that I feel that essentially no one is really suffering in Say Yes to the Dress. They all get the fucking dress.
No, they don't. A lot of people do walk away because they're so unsure of themselves.
The worst thing that happens is they don't buy a wedding dress from that shop. That is the absolute worst nightmare scenario on Say Yes to the Dress.
I don't know about that. No, well, that's the absolute worst thing that could happen to them.
Yeah.
But the absolute worst thing that can be revealed is something different. I mean, those are two different things. Mm. What you're seeing is you're seeing a window into somebody's life, and you're seeing a person who is broken down and destroyed. You're seeing someone who is an empty shell of a person whose self-worth is at such a rock bottom low that they have to ask for all these things in order to validate themselves.
Exactly.
That said, what my point was going to be was that despite all that, it's still probably the one with the least amount of human suffering and torture of all of the TLC based reality shows.
Well, yeah.
It's not like with Honey Boo Boo, you're like, but I'm just watching child abusers. What the fuck is going on? Why are you in their home and not calling social services? What is wrong with America that this is allowed legally to take place?
Mm.
You know, and Say Yes to the Dress doesn't have that element of it.
No, it's fairly wealthy girls getting married to fairly wealthy men.
You know, even what the Amish one, as interesting as that is, it's like there's so much of, surely there should be like a government organization that steps in and gets involved in this. You know, it's, there's some
fun. Are there reality shows that you enjoy though?
I mean, no, not me.
Yeah,
are there any reality shows where you can say this is an okay show? It is not directly exploitative and I like to watch it.
Oh, Pawn Stars. That one I actually enjoy.
Yeah, Pawn Stars, not directly exploitative at all.
You get dumb people. I think
that's on the short list, yeah. Yes.
You get the dumb ones in only in as much as I've got this thing that I can't prove what it is and I'd like $10 million for it, please. And you just get to, no, you may not. Go, leave. And that's it. And we get to laugh at how stupid they are. But other than that, I don't think it's exploitative at all. It's essentially a half hour long advert for a business.
It is.
Lisa watched an awful lot of Project Runway, and I have to admit that was pretty okay.
Never seen a frame of it.
Well, that's just models for an hour, isn't it?
It's people tailoring models.
It's the designing.
Yeah. The cake boss, I don't like the cake boss.
No, because, you know, the more I do cakes and the more I watch him, I like his ideas, but I don't like his execution, and I know that it doesn't taste good looking at it.
The man's just a dick, really. The man's just a total
and utter
tool.
He's overblown, and that's why he's got a big TV show, and that's why he's got a massive business now, and all that kind of stuff.
And
the reality shows that I can actually get into are actually competitions when you think about it. I was trying to make a short list of reality shows that I've seen and that I haven't walked away from after 3 minutes. And I think that the ones that I came away saying, yes, I liked that, are actually sports. Like Iron Chef. Iron Chef, it is purely about the competition. Yeah. There is no drama. It is not about the people. You do not get them in a room, you know, doing their confessionals. It's just, hey, here's some food. Here's how they're making the food. They're making the food quickly and it will be judged.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't really mind Sky One's Got to Dance for a little while.
Yeah.
That was just because what they did, you know, it was kind of, it's just a dancing competition. And it's not terrible.
No, it's not. And you get to see different styles and stuff like that.
They did it well in that they never let you show, you never saw the morons. And there clearly were people.
They used to show you morons in the early days, and now they're just like, yeah, there was this guy who came on.
Yeah,
like,
don't make fun of the broken people that turned up.
Don't make fun of the broken people.
That's what it is.
That's what we're after. Like reality TV shows, but please don't make it about...
Fortunately,
making us laugh
in shows about buying a $40,000 dress, you generally get less broken people that are going there.
Well, exactly. You kind of get a like, fucking bitch, wearing that dress, it costs more than my house.
She's ugly. And so many guys are like, how did you get her?
How much plastic surgery?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on in Kleinfels. Like, that you've got a lot of plastic surgery and your husband's 30 years older than you and he owns several businesses. And that's why you're wearing a $20,000 dress.
Yeah.
And it's actually only dress one of two because you want a different one for the evening.
Is it wrong to love someone just because of their money? I mean, it's just a quality about that person that just happens to be the one thing that you find attractive
about
them.
I found the pit, right? You know, we've been talking about it. I found the pit. The pit is Four Weddings. Have you seen Four Weddings?
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Don't be crazy. None of us have seen this.
Four Weddings is four brides with four weddings, and they each go to each other's and mark each other on dress, venue, food, overall ambiance.
Oh yes,
this kind of stuff, and it's vicious.
They're literally judging each other.
Yes,
literally. There's no pretense anymore. We're just straight out judging her. I don't like a dress. The food was awful. This was nasty. The flowers were shit. There were no centerpieces.
And of course,
this kind of stuff. You know, it's just vicious.
It's a competition, so there's a prize for the highest score. So you give yourself the highest score when you go to everyone else's wedding.
They've changed the scoring mechanism to aggregate it to get rid of pure evilness.
Insipid.
it's really it's something else.
Weddings are just such big business.
You're all lined up, pretending to be friends and everything, in nice cocktail dresses, waiting for a limo to arrive and a man's leg to come out, and then that's when you know whether you're the lucky person who's having a wonderful honeymoon in Bora Bora, or whether you're not.
So you see, for a lady who was all against weddings, watches a great deal of wedding-related television.
I know a lot about weddings now. I've been to about 1,000 weddings now.
Be afraid, Richard. Be very afraid. This is building to something, I fear.
Look, if we ever did it, I know exactly what we're doing.
There you go.
It's planned in my head. There's no binder or anything, but I've got it. It's sussed. It's in there.
That's called the Princess Syndrome.
It's not the Princess Syndrome. It's just planning. It's just being organized.
It's only a problem if I have opinions, and I do not.
You don't have any opinions, so I just invite him. I tell him what he's wearing and say when he's got to be there. And then I wake him up several hours before that to make sure he's fucking ready. And that's it. That's all he has to do. Just fucking wake up, get dressed, turn up.
No, Craig will do that. It's fine. You don't even have to do that.
Oh, yeah. I'll get Craig to just kick you around.
Yeah. I've decided Craig is has become the universal best man.
Yeah, he's everybody's best man.
And I think purely from a logistical point of view, you know where you are with Craig Bevan.
Exactly. You know he's going to be charming and funny.
Yeah. I mean, if I was to rank my friends, I don't know that he'd win, but I do know that he's... I do know he's pretty much the only one I trust to organize something along those lines.
Yeah.
If there is a moral to be gleaned from Say Yes to the Dress, it is always trust Craig Bevan.
I really would trust him to organize things well.
He honestly is the go-to best man. He's getting asked left, right, and center.
Yeah. I mean...
he's good at this shit.
He does it all the time. Everyone I know that has gotten married, he's been their best man. I'm quite serious about that now I think about it, except Boz, who's only met Craig twice, but if he'd met him anymore...
His best man was Casey. Yeah, he's obviously the other go-to best man that anybody could ask for.
That's true.
I think that is a fine place to put a cap on Say Yes to the Dress and all discussion thereof. Is there anything that we should play up, promote, push, recommend?
On our network, is there anything? I've been doing a show live on Friday nights.
You have?
That might be kind of rich show, right?
Yeah, some kind
of... What's it called?
Some kind of rich show.
I know, but what's it called?
Yeah, I know. That was what I could get away with without just putting untitled in parentheses. I'll make up whatever you want. That show Rich does, so it is. That's pretty much what it's called. It's some sort of Rich show.
Yeah.
So that is live on a Friday night, and only so you can call me if you want. I kind of do them randomly now. Mm. I recorded one while I was walking the dog earlier today.
Okay.
So it's just honestly so nothing in terms of structure, but that's there, and it's on my SoundCloud page. I want to just get everybody more excited about the new version of the website that's coming with super new Simply Everything and all that sort of thing.
Away, haven't you?
I have. It's still ongoing. It's ongoing. I'm into the inner workings of Simply Everything and what we can produce in the future and all that kind of thing. It's very exciting stuff. I'm just reminding people that I'm doing it, really. That's all. I've got nothing to tell you that's concrete yet.
Mm.
That's it. Top 5 is out as well. That's back. And I hope to get Duasty Tell up and running again soon.
Yes.
There's loads of stuff. Just keep checking the website.
Harry is back from South Korea.
No, she's not. She's not coming. No, she's back, but she's not.
Is she not?
She's not coming.
Is she
back,
not available?
No, she's not. Oh. She's not doing the show.
Well, I'm going to take a moment to quickly pimp Atomic Trivia War 9000 here, because I need to bring it up to say that I have to go and host it now.
You do.
Yeah.
It is 8:30 and my crowd gets so rankled if I'm not there at 8:30.
Right.
Well, we'll go.
Skedaddle.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back another day with another show.
And get in touch with your pick, Jason.
Yeah.
I think that you get to pick.
Me?
Allison.
Oh, I feel like I've done enough damage. You must retaliate.
We'll have this discussion later.
It wasn't my choice, but I feel like responsible, so hurt me some.
All right, we'll see everybody next week.
Bye-bye.
Or sometime in the future. We'll see everyone in the future.
Yeah, later.
Bye.